I am the ultimate. I am majesty. Crypto decentralized. I am currency. I am the Tesla for electricity. I am a mobile eye. Mining frequency. I am the whole.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Intune Instrument Podcast. Today, I have someone special on the line with me. But first, before I introduce him, I'm going to light this up so I can get my creativity flowing. We're going to be talking about a subject that I actually really do love to talk about. And my guest actually knows way more about it than I do. And so I want to make sure I have some great creative questions. So I'm going to light up some of this Cali weed so it can help my brain with that.
Get it started off right. I mean, the creative juices are always flowing. Might as well amp it up.
There we go. All right. So, Mr. Michael Phoenix. Actually, is that what you want to go by, sir?
Yeah, I mean, that's my name. That's my legal name. Sure.
I didn't know that. Really? Yeah. So you are legally the Phoenix that rises from
that. Yes.
I love it. I love it. So actually, I have a question that made me think of, like, so what was it that made you change to legally have your name as Michael Phoenix?
So back in 2009, I met an amazing woman and we came together and realized that we wanted to try to live a life together. But I didn't really want her to take my name. I didn't really want to take her name, and the whole concatenation thing feels kind of janky. Mm-hmm. This is my particular opinion. But that said, we're just like, why don't we create our own name? So one evening on my ride back from work, I was just, why not Phoenix? And then just went and, you know, told her, and she was like, yeah, all right. So we both individually changed our names to Phoenix, and that's our shared name for the marriage. And then, you know, we're individually Phoenixes.
That's amazing. That's really cool. That's like totally out of the box thinking. Well, actually, you know, there is no box, but
we try to make boxes, but yeah.
Exactly. You know, but that shows how much of a creator you and her are. Like, you're just like, you know what? We're not going to go with just the names that we have already. Yeah. Let's go ahead and make something new. I love it. So let's talk about cryptocurrency, sir.
For sure.
I remember when I met you back in Missouri, that was something that we talked a little bit about. And I instantly knew, okay, this guy knows a lot about this subject, at least more than me.
there's a lot to know about this subject. So exactly. I definitely don't know what.
And it's constantly evolving and growing, because we're kind of like, as far as what we are discovering right now, we're like in the beginning phases. So it's constantly growing and evolving, and more people are creating more things on top of everything. But how long have you actually studied cryptocurrency?
Studied it probably since like right before the big jump back in 2017. When it spiked up, when Bitcoin spiked up to 20,000, that's when I really started to get into it. Probably October-ish of 2017. But I've known about it for a while. I remember looking back at Bitcoin when it was still a couple pennies, and like, whatever. And then on to the next idea.
So what was it? Tell me about the moment that you looked around and you were like, you know what? I should really actually get into, like, learn more about cryptocurrency.
Yeah, well, mine's more of a slow burn. I have a buddy named Michael Skye who had been telling me about Bitcoin for about the year prior to that. And he was like, man, you need to get some Bitcoin. And it was at this point, it was like $1,000. And I'm like, yeah, I'll look into it. And then another friend of mine, completely independent, O.E. Sun, he's out of Atlanta. He was like, yo, Bitcoin. And then we started looking into it together. And that's just, you know, the rest is kind of history at that point. I did the deep dive at that point and realized that, yeah, this technology is something that, you know, our world will have in the future. And yes. whether it's Bitcoin or Litecoin or whatever the case may be, like mm-hmm. irrespective of that, this technology as a network protocol, it's what the future of business will operate on as kind of the framework of mm-hmm. the economic model that we have.
Yeah, I definitely believe in that also. It took me a while to become an adopter. But then once I really looked into it, I was just like, yeah, this is definitely the future. Definitely the future. So tell me a little bit about what did that deep dive look like for you? Because I know there's a lot of people that's kind of just now having that look that's going, oh my goodness, I need to learn more about this. So what would you suggest that they do to learn more?
The short answer is, unfortunately, it depends. You know, a lot depends on what your interests are, what someone's interests are. Like if you're more technology minded, I would highly encourage you getting into the technology and reading these code frameworks and at least trying to understand what's actually going on there. But if you're not into technology, you know, I think it coming to it from one of probably three different areas, either kind of from an investment lens, another from a consumer lens, and a third as benefit to society lens, and really start asking the questions in those three kind of things. And that third one, I've somewhat biased it just by saying benefit to society, but, you know, asking the question, what can this do for our world in ways that begin to normalize the equity distributions amongst people? And is it a technology that can normalize the distribution model for where equity in the world is distributed? And yeah, so like that piece for me in and of itself was kind of the overall context for this, because, you know, part of my journey has been, you know, back in 2008, probably 2006 to 2008, I was way in my hippie self. I didn't have a bank account. I didn't have a driver's license. I didn't have nothing. And, you know, fast forward to now, I still have that let's exit Babylon, you know, mentality in me. Mm-hmm. And this really, I started to see it from the perspective of, well, this can completely obsolete Babylon. And then I was like, all right.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot depends on how you want to approach this. And those are four areas that you can approach it from just to get started. And it really only matters of, you know, which one resonates most inside to dig into that curiosity.
Yeah. Number one, those four are amazing for people to get started. But I also wanted to touch on a little bit what you said with making Babylon obsolete. Sure. I know when I really started just really, really looking into it and seeing, wait a minute, this like gives the freedom of choice back. And like, yes. You know, because I look at money as a representation of my own energy. I never looked at money as, oh, I got to go get money. I'm like, well, I already got my own energy, so money's going to come to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I have always wanted my representation of my money to be to not be this like stuffy paper thing with a man that's
right.
Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, my energy ain't like that. Right. And I saw where crypto actually allows people to like figure out which project and which coins that are supporting which project they actually like what makes them happy. What makes them go, ooh,
yeah,
that's cool. And then buy into it and be able to have their energy represented by something they're actually passionate about. It's like, yes. Yo, that's amazing.
Yes. Right.
And doing that, like, gives it makes you feel so much freer. It makes you feel so much happier. People who are happier, less disease. You know what I'm saying? It's a good thing.
It is.
And that was my major breakthrough with crypto. When I saw that, I was like, oh, this is the solution that we're all waiting for.
Right. Yeah. Here. Yep. Right. Yeah. So that was like, for me, that looked like, you know, they call it a trustless model, where you don't have to trust a third party to handle all of this stuff. Right. And that, mm-hmm. in this case, it's a bank. So for me, the first question was, well, is that really true? You know, and the fact is, anyone can go download the full Bitcoin node. And yeah, it's going to take probably 5 days to download. And you're not going to be able to mine on it unless you have the technology for it. But the reality is, going to download and become a node on the Bitcoin network, you yourself have an account address where you have full control of the blockchain of what happened. Full control is a little bit of a misnomer. You have control of what happens on that Bitcoin blockchain on yours. And you have to operate by the consensus rules of the network protocol, right? So like, demystifying that, you can go set up your own bank and have a say in what happens with the ongoings of how that bank operates in a metaphorical sense. It's a little bit more complex than that, but to kind of keep it simple, mm-hmm. anyone who has the device and access to the network and enough memory on their computer can be their own bank. In this case, Bitcoin is that way. And there's a whole host of other coins that were based off of Bitcoin that are that trustless model, where you yourself can hook up into it or move out from it. However you want to operate in relation to it is up to you. And you don't have anyone else telling you how to do it, but you do have rules that you have to agree to, but there's no one person or entity governing those rules, right? And in a sense, that's kind of like the purest form of anarchy. There are rules, but there is no ruler. And the only way that, you know, we can interact with it is through agreement to the same set of rules. And if we're willing to do that, then, you know, this is one way that it can happen. And each coin is itself its own world, its own universe of ability to create banks, right? So there's Bitcoin, which is its own world of functionality. Then there's Litecoin and Ethereum. Like Ethereum, as an example, you have smart contracts and all these different tokens that extend the functionality of Ethereum in the ways that are trying to solve real world problems. Like that's its own universe of potential inside of that one protocol. And there's thousands of other protocols that are attempting to solve actual problems for moving resource and securing resource to do things in the real world. Right. And if we break it down to, and I'm kind of going off on a little bit of a tangent, but if you don't mind.
Oh, go ahead. You are breaking it down. I'm learning some stuff. Please continue.
But like, if we look at money in its purest form as a tool that has the ability to facilitate the movement of assets and resources, you know, in cryptocurrency, not only does it have the capacity to break down as a tool to move assets and resource, but it also has with it the capacity to be an asset in itself. In this case, like NFTs. If you listen to Gary Vee, you've heard him go off about NFTs, non-fungible tokens, mm-hmm. right? Those are things that are now possible with cryptocurrency because of the cryptographic mathematics behind it to secure these assets that now can become things in the real world, right? They're still digital forms, but they are things that can be specifically identified and value quantified thereon based on the fact that it's now secure by this technology, right? So that's just one very microscopic example uh-huh. of the potential for what this type of technology has in the future of what happens on this world, in how specifically how it distributes the equity that we're like, all of us who want to like have change, real change in the world, a common narrative is the distribution, unfair distribution of wealth in the world, right? We call it the 1%, but the reality is they have the assets, they have the resource. Cryptocurrency can begin to redistribute that and normalize that outlier of the 1% into the rest of the 99%. But it takes us knowing what problems we're going to solve and the different protocols that are allow us or enable us technologically to solve those problems in an interconnected world where now suddenly we have access to people on the other side of the planet instantly, right? How can we move assets and resources on the other side of the world instantly? Right now, if I send you $1,000 or whatever, it's going to take a couple of days to process through PayPal, or if you need cash, it's going to take however many days to go through Western Union or whatever the case may be. Now we have the technology to immediately move resource to, again, distribute the equity.
Yes. Yes. Actually, that's I've been putting that into practice a little bit. With my music, I'm a Stream to Rebuild artist. And one of the projects was actually the Nigerian village that's featured in my music video, trying to basically raising funds through the music video to get them some farming equipment. Nice. And so actually, it was really cool because right the week after the music video launched, it caused a lot of people to just kind of have get their attention as to what we were doing. And yeah. The guy who is the founder and creator of the Human Charity Coin actually reached out to me and actually sent the first wave of equipment. But he actually used Litecoin to pay for it in Nigeria. And it was just, whoop, easy. Yep. Yep. And I was just like, look at this, we're doing this, man. So definitely real world example right now of exactly what you were saying and how it can be used to in a way to help our neighbors. But then it can also be used to, now you have no barriers for, your business and things like that. Now, I did want to touch on two other things that that are a buzz right now. Sure. And see, number one, you mentioned it a little bit, NFTs. A lot of people are asking about NFTs, especially artists. I know as soon as I learned about NFTs, I instantly went and minted one, did a horrible job.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
That's how I learned about gas fees, which are the next thing that I was going to ask you a little bit about. I actually paid so many gas fees that I actually paid enough to like mint two NFTs and I didn't even know it. And later on, they're like, oh, by the way, you could just mint some more. Just go. But anyway, first of all, NFTs. A lot of people are asking me about it. I have made some. But I'm not the expert on it. Could you explain to everyone what NFTs are? I mean, kind of why they are like a craze right now.
I'll keep it pretty. I'm going to come from the technology lens of this.
Yes.
And I'll touch on some of the other stuff. But in essence, NFTs are. The technical term is a non-fungible token. And what that means is it can't be duplicated. It can't be replicated. And that's, again, kind of touching back on what I said, that's possible through cryptography and being able to secure that particular item inside of, in this case, a token of some sort on the Ethereum blockchain. And how should I say this? Imagine that there's a... on the chain or on any chain, there is a specific location on that chain that cannot be duplicated. That is the specific piece of the particular protocol that then is tied to whatever digital artifact that you create, that you put it to that signature, right? So that's the underlying technology of it. And I've very much tried to simplify what's going on there. And I've probably said certain things that people out there, some technologists out there, really, it's not actually correct. But the reality is it's specifically identifiable, right? That's the underlying nature of a non-fungible token. You can't duplicate it because you would have to destroy that piece of the chain and try to remake it, which is just not really possible. So that's what makes it unique. And that's the core underlying aspect of a non-fungible token. Just like if you have a Beanie Baby from the 90s that's super rare and it has all the aspects of it that make it unique and rare, the same thing around the non-fungible token. The only reason these things are valuable is because we have some kind of perception on them that makes them valuable. But again, it's that it's unique. There are many different technologies, many different protocols that you can get into. And I'm definitely by far not the expert on any of that, but this is another one of those universes inside of this technology that, in my opinion, if it's something that interests you, it's one of those things to geek out on because there's so much to learn about. And, you know, someone who's been in it from the ground up probably could sit there and tell you everything you want to know about it all. But even myself, who has a sufficient understanding of technology, it's still something that I have to sit down and really dig into to try to understand. And to be honest with you, I don't necessarily understand all of the back and forth processing of how it happens, but I do understand enough to know that the uniqueness of these artifacts is what's possible based on the mathematics of the cryptography, right? So if you understand at least that much and you are an artist, that's really all you need to know to get started, is that it's just like any other piece of original artwork that you want to create. It's secured by the mathematics of the cryptography in this technology. And all you need to know how to do is take your artifact and tie it to one of those things inside of one of the markets that is profitable, right? So just going back to what I said a minute ago, each coin is its own universe, and inside of one of those universes are different worlds on which you can operate. Imagine that each token on the Ethereum chain is its own world inside of the Ethereum universe. Now, inside of that universe, or on one of those worlds in that universe, what are the websites? What are the portals that you need to know and how to enter that world? And these are the different websites that are out there, all the different markets, right, that are based on this technology. That's all you really need to know in order to get started, is that it's unique and there are places out there who can deliver you to that world where you can put your stuff there and start making money or do whatever it is that you want to do, right? If you can get that much, you don't really need to know much more than that, unless you're a geek who wants to go deep down into the weeds of it and figure it all out. But, and by all means, do that.
I did get a little geeky. I won't lie. When I went into it, and I was like 2 weeks, you just didn't even see me. I was just looking at the NFTs. So the other big thing that I was seeing was a lot of people were using the Ethereum network, and they were like, oh my goodness, these gas fees. Like, apparently, like, the gas fees at some point were like up to like $500. Like, and I was just like, whoa. Like, do you understand like the gas fees, why they're...
I don't know much about it, honestly.
Okay.
It's one of those things. It's really one of those things where there's so much going on that no one person, in my opinion, no one person can be the authoritative source of knowledge for all of this technology. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible. You might be an expert in Bitcoin. You might be an expert in, you know, the cryptocurrency technologies. And then it's like the uncertainty principle. The more you know about the generality of everything, that's where your time is spent. The more you dive into the specific of a particular piece of technology and all this, the less you know about what else is going on in the world. You might know some of the stuff, but, you know, the more you know about the position, the less you know about the momentum of where all this stuff is heading. And the more you know about the momentum of all this stuff, the less you know about any one specific aspect of it. There's just so much to try to wrap your mind around. That's why, you know, back at the beginning of this, what is your interest? Where do you find curiosity in you as you sit there and you know, listen to this and see things in the world? Where do you find curiosity in yourself with respect to this technology and how it's used in the world? Which is why I laid out those four things. If you have any curiosity inside of one of those things, go into that and you'll find your path through it.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. Sir, I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And one last question. I know that you definitely taught me some stuff, and I'm sure you've taught the viewers or the listeners some things. If they wanted to follow you, find out what you're doing, what way could they keep up with you?
Yeah, so my tag on virtually every social media platform is RebelPhoenix333. So hit me up on any one of the favorite social platforms, or my website is michaelphoenix.me. And I'm also working on a Patreon.
Nice.
Where I want to start teaching some more of this stuff, just from like, not like in the weeds deep on any one thing, but more about like how to frame our approach to it and what's going on with it all.
Definitely. So yeah, definitely check him out on his social media. Thank you so much, sir. And actually, if there are some any other questions that that pop up, then would you mind ever being a guest in the future?
Absolutely, of course.
Yes! Awesome. So thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who is listening. The next episode, got another amazing guest. See you then.
Thank you again for tuning into the show. If you're interested in supporting the show, be sure to meander on over to shop.theintuneinstrument.com and check out the merch store. You want my latest single? Well, guess what? You can get it at shop.theintuneinstrument.com. You want to represent that you're an in-tune instrument in your city? shop.theintuneinstrument.com and grab a shirt. You get the message. Go to shop.theintuneinstrument.com and rep this show.